So on this Easter Sunday, let us proclaim the good and great news that He is risen indeed. And let us hear that word one more time from the Gospel of John. Chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, but it was rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first, he also went in and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary, she remained. She stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." But just then Jesus said, "Mary!" And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me. Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." So Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all the things that Jesus had said to her. Let us pray. O holy God, we are grateful to be in your presence today. We are grateful to hear your songs, to be amongst your good earth and your good people. We are especially grateful today because of what today means for the world. This is the day that changed everything. You came to reconcile us to yourself, knowing that no matter how hard we try, that we always fall short, that in our humanity, we are sinful. So you came. You were born in a stable, likely a cave, dirty, with the waste of animals, with straw. You came as a baby. And then you went to the cross. You went to the cross where you took on the worst that the world had to offer. You withstood the jeers and the cries from the crowd to crucify you. You were there on that cross, still uttering words of forgiveness to us. How merciful are you, O God, and how wonderful are your ways. Over these last 3 days, we remember that you went to the very depths of hell for us. We remember that you reconciled your people there to you. You went to also remind us that there is no place so dark, so lost, that you will not find us. And today we remember and we celebrate that you were not in that tomb. No cross, no stone, no whip, no chain could contain the love that you have for us, and we are grateful. Now hear us, O God. Hear our praises to you and help us to hear your word for us. Shape us and mold us, O God, into the disciples you have called us to be. In the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, we lift this to you. Amen. So for a minute, I want you to suspend the idea that I'm the pastor. For right now, you can call me Mary. It was so wonderful that you could join me. I see you've heard. I wondered how long it would take for the news to spread. You see, I've been out here since it happened, while it was still dark. Do you blame me? To see him there hanging on that cross, to hear him utter those last words, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" They mocked him so, even divided up his clothes and gave his things away to the soldiers. Can you believe it? It was so hard to stand there and see him in so much pain, to see him give up his last breath. I was frozen to that spot, kneeling there on the ground. So I had to come out here, you see. I don't know why, really. Just to be close to him, I guess. It's still hard to believe that they took him from us. I've barely been able to stop crying since. Because, you see, I've been with him since the early days of his ministry. I couldn't help but listen to him after he saved me. They say it was 7 demons that were tearing my spirit apart. I was an outcast. Nobody wanted to have anything to do with me. They didn't know what to do. It was like I had a sickness or a disease they might catch if they came too close. I felt like I was drowning. I was lost and alone. Nobody knew how to help me, but he did. And from that point on, I knew that I wanted to learn everything I could from him. I mean, I'd heard the stories about Moses and Abraham and David and Joseph. I'd heard them since I was a kid. But there was something different about him. It was hard to understand, sometimes hard to put into words. He challenged us, you see. He changed our ideas on things, the way that we had grown up. He changed how we thought about slaves and widows and orphans, how we thought about power and rulers. And he was always at odds with the Pharisees, because you see, they wanted to stick by these rules. But it wasn't about rules for him. And you just always knew that he understood you, that he could see you, see past the masks, all the things that you put up so that others can't tell how much you hurt. He could see past all of that, and he loved you anyway. Does it make sense? Yeah, probably doesn't. It doesn't make sense to me either sometimes. If I hadn't been there, if I hadn't seen it in him, if I hadn't looked in his face, I'm not sure I would believe it either. But when you were listening to him, you wanted to hold on to it forever. And when he called your name, whatever you were doing, you would drop it to follow him. You see, there were disciples, the men in the group, they put down their fishing nets the day that he said, "Come and follow me," and they haven't looked back. We've spent every day traveling with him, listening to his teachings, learning what we could. And we've watched others as they were drawn to what he had to say, because you see, he was carrying a message with him about how we ought to love one another. It didn't matter if we were part of the inner circles, if we had power, if we were part of the Roman legions or not, or if we were just farmers and mamas and daddies and fishermen. He didn't care. He even treated slaves differently. There was something different about him. And even when I was troubled, he did not turn me away. He healed me. Even me. Even me. So you see, I wouldn't be anywhere else. That's why I came here. It was such a long day, such a hard walk to this tomb. But I'm here because he saved me. And let me tell you, when I first got here, it was dark in a lonely place. But when the morning came, everything changed. And at first, you see, I thought I was seeing things. The stone, the one that they had placed in front of the tomb to hold him there, it had been moved. And he was gone. I couldn't believe it myself. I cried out. I had no idea what had happened, so I ran to get Simon Peter and Jesus' closest, most beloved friend, and they came to see too. And all they found inside that tomb were his clothes, his burial clothes. The cloth they'd put on his face, it was lying there, folded nice and neat, not in a hurry, off to the side. What do you make of that? I didn't understand it. It didn't make any sense. And Simon Peter, while he was certain of what he saw, he didn't understand either. And I couldn't help but cry all over again. What would you think? To come to see where he had been buried just to find an empty tomb? It didn't make any sense. And some of the men, I have to be honest, they thought that I was in hysterics, that I was crazy because of my grief. But I'm telling you the truth. Please listen. I promise. It was him. And I didn't know at first. You see, that's how it is with him. Sometimes you can completely miss what he's saying to you if you aren't paying attention. But then he spoke my name. He cried out, Mary. And let me tell you, when he calls your name, you know it. It's like your name is a treasure. It's like when he calls your name, he sees your spirit. He sees your heart and who you are. And you can sense in that moment how much he loves you. I screamed out. Were my eyes deceiving me? No, there was no one else there but him and me. Oh, how I longed to reach out and hold on to him, just as I reached for his robe. He said, wait, do not hold on to me forever. I have to tell you that after the last 2 days, it was just too much to see him standing there. But he told me that he had to go to his Father, to God. I'm not sure I completely understand what he meant, but I promise it was him. I know it was him. I know it was him. I saw his face. Please believe me. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. I have seen the Lord. I have seen my Lord. Do you believe it? Please do. And will you tell the others? Oh, I hope so. Because I have a feeling this is going to change everything. This is going to change the world. Let us pray. Lord God, you indeed have changed the world, and you are still changing it to this day. We believe, Mary. It is hard, O God, in our world today, our world of logic and reason and science, and our desire to explain away everything. Sometimes faith is hard. But when you call our name, when you have touched us through the power of your Spirit, we know. Whatever our stories are, wherever we have come from, we know when you call our name. You see us, O God. You see us as no one else does. And we are so grateful. We are grateful that Mary was there at the tomb that wonderful and bright, glorious day. We are grateful for her courage and her willingness to share what she had seen with her own eyes. Because of this Easter Sunday, we come together today for yet one more Easter, one more day to proclaim the good and great news that you have risen indeed. You have set the table before us, and you have invited us to join in the banquet. It doesn't matter where we come from, how smart we might be, how much power we might or might not have. It doesn't matter what color our skin might be, whether we're rich or poor, whether we're slave or free, whether we're Jew or Greek, the table is set for us. The invitation you have issued and you call us together here to this table. Come, rest, take and eat, take and drink, and know that I am your God. I am your Savior and your King. My name is Jesus Christ. I bled and died for you, and I rose again to give you eternal hope and to know that you are completely loved without condition. Thanks be to God. Amen.